Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
So for the last few weeks, every Wednesday, we have brought you conversations on leadership. We're calling the series Stepping Up, and it's all about talking with folks in the greater Boston region who are making deep change in their communities. Last week, we spoke with Geeta Pradhan, who is a disruptor in the foundation world. She's now president of the Cambridge Community Foundation. We've heard from Reverend Willie Bodrick II, who's senior pastor at the historic 12th Baptist Church in Roxbury, and we kicked it off with Doug Rao, food security pioneer and founder of the nonprofit grocery chain Daily Table. Each conversation is keyed on some moment or decision or approach to leadership as we look to explore what it takes to step up and lead, what it costs those who do it, and what might be preventing some of the next generation of leaders from stepping up, how we can clear that path. So today, we are joined by Jen Fagel, Executive Director of Commonwealth Kitchen, which is a nonprofit that helps support inclusive food entrepreneurship in the city of Boston. It provides things like shared kitchen space, manufacturing to folks who've not traditionally had access to the kinds of tools you need to do that manufacturing, et cetera. Jen, welcome.
Thank you so much, Tiziana.
So one of the reasons we were so interested in talking to you is about the way you got engaged with Commonwealth Kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I want to pick up on that. But let's make sure that my description of Commonwealth Kitchen was sufficient. What else would you need people to know about who the organization is and what it does?
Yeah, so Commonwealth Kitchen at its core is really about how do we break down the barriers for people who want to start food businesses, and particularly looking at women, immigrants, people of color who have been traditionally left out, under-resourced, don't have networks. And so how do we create opportunities? Really because it's about wealth building, economic opportunity, economic mobility, because we know that if we want to actually close the Boston's growing racial wealth divide, we have to look at assets and wealth. And the best way for people to actually get assets and wealth is home ownership, quality jobs, and small business ownership. So for us, business ownership is key. So we always say, look, food is our passion, but equity is our mission.
And what are the big barriers that people face that you're able to remove as Commonwealth Kitchen?
Yeah, so we started with the fundamental idea that the biggest challenge for anybody is the cost of the kitchen. So could we find a way to lower that barrier? And we came up with what seemed like a very elegant solution, which is a shared kitchen. So think about it as a gym membership for food companies. So instead of renting to go work out on a treadmill, you get to come into our kitchen and use lots of big equipment. But we immediately realized that having a great recipe and access to a kitchen is not enough to build a great business, particularly if you don't have cash, access to networks, and the industry is incredibly insular. And so what we really needed to do was to look at how do we help break down the barriers around permits, license, scaling your recipe, distribution, sales, marketing, pitching, cash flow management. So that led us into a whole range of business education programming that we now provide, but also access to markets. So how do these businesses get recognized and get access, whether it's into a big grocery store? Can we get them onto college campuses, into the dining services, into retail opportunities? And so we really see our work as this kind of vertically integrated model where we work with a business along their journey from the idea of a concept all the way through to an established company.
So very briefly, give us one example.
An example of this would be Jamaica Me Hungry. Some people have heard of this business. Started with a catering company, with a food truck. Came into our kitchen and really needed help on how he could scale to the next level. He needed help with access to capital. How is he going to find it? He needed help accessing markets. And so we actually put him into his own retail space on a pop-up basis in Cambridge that allowed him to build his team, build his systems, build his staff, actually put some cash in his pocket. And that led us to help him actually open his very first restaurant in Jamaica Plain in 2019.
And your favorite food at his restaurant?
Oh, my God. Everything. The jerk chicken is fantastic.
All right. All right. So now I want to come to you because I've known you for a number of years now. Yep. And it has always stuck with me that you didn't actually mean to be the head of Commonwealth Kitchen.
No.
Tell the story.
Absolutely not. So I actually have all of my career is doing real estate development in the nonprofit sector. So I spent 20 years doing affordable housing development, commercial development, all from a mission base. And what I saw and got frustrated was that we were doing really important work to help low-income families be able to stabilize what they were doing by living in all the other affordable housing, but we weren't actually moving them out of poverty. And so I got really interested in what were the tools that were allowing us to build affordable housing, and could we find those same tools to help people actually build wealth? And so the whole idea of Commonwealth Kitchen was, can we essentially de-risk the business to give them the chance to actually try and learn, sometimes fail, hopefully make it? And it's essentially the same thing that they do in affordable housing, where you create things like tax incentives for private investors to invest in affordable housing. So we de-risk the investment in the affordable housing. And so for me, Commonwealth Kitchen was this kind of grand experiment in, could we actually change the reality for families?
So you helped, as I understand it, you helped found it in 2009.
Correct.
But it was in 2014, when you were helping with a real estate transaction, that something happened, and the next thing you know, you're actually running it.
Yes, this was never supposed to be my plan. And I was asked to step in 2014 in the middle of a leadership crisis. And there was a need for me to step in and take over on an interim basis. It was right before we were opening the new facility that the organization was just moving into. My job was to do the financing and the vision for the piece of real estate in Dorchester in an old hot dog factory. I had done my job, was moved on to other projects, and then we found out that money had been moved that shouldn't have been moved from the nonprofit. I was asked by the city and others, could I step in on a temporary basis? I said, well, I know nothing about food businesses. I know nothing about small business development. I am an entrepreneur in my own way, and I am somebody who is dogged in my belief in the work that we do, and said, I'll step in temporarily. That temporary has now been, what are we at?
Eight years.
Yeah.
So you didn't have what you need when you started in terms of leadership skills.
I mean, so when I think about leadership, leadership for me is really, it's so much about who we are as people and relationships and emotion and being willing to take risk and have a vision, even if you don't really know the steps to that vision. And that's really my career in doing real estate development, was trying to put together projects that everybody else said, I don't see it. I don't understand how you get from A to Z. And I have always been a person that somehow is able to see all the way through to A to Z and be able to translate that from something that feels chaotic into something that's very linear. And in many ways, that started for me because my original background is actually as a carpenter. And so when you think about
doing— I did not see that coming.
I know. So when you think about working in construction, you have to build a foundation before you can put the walls up. And the walls have to go up for the electrical to go in. And all of those things are very sequential. But you have to be able to see the vision of what you're trying to build in order to put the pieces together. And I feel like that is, if I have a superpower, that is it, which is to be able to see that vision and then understand how do we actually put the pieces together to make that vision real.
So when was the moment you step in 2014? Mm-hmm. You're like, I don't really know this business. I've been doing this other thing. You're asking me to step in here. Mm-hmm. When was the moment when you realized, oh, this is what I do now? This is not temporary. This is the mission I want, and this is what I do now.
I don't think I've hit it yet, honestly. I say to everybody every day, I feel like an imposter. Like, I don't feel like I'm an expert in the food industry, and yet I have become one by hard work. I feel like I spend every day learning because it is a world that I don't know. I don't know the food industry. I don't know food businesses. And so
how can you not after 8 years?
Because it doesn't feel that way, right? So this is also the reality for lots of people who are leaders, and certainly as women, right? That's part of it, is we feel like, how could I possibly be the person that
imposter
knows this?
Imposter syndrome. Yeah.
Of course. I also think, though, that helps me to be better, honestly, because not knowing the industry allowed me to walk in and say, well, why are we doing it that way? That seems really stupid. Why isn't there a different way? And not come in with blinders on that so many people in the industry are stuck in, that they don't see the possibility. And so I feel like it has given me more, coming from not knowing this world has given me more capacity to actually find the ways to make change.
So I'm curious, what was one thing that you came in and it was being done a stupid way?
Yeah.
And you were able to help find a better way to do it?
Well, so the big example for us is actually the manufacturing work we do. What we saw with a lot of our businesses is they were artisans, they're making it themselves, they're working hard. We had a salsa company. She was in probably 200 stores. This sounds like a really strong business. She was not able to pay herself because the margins are tough in the food industry. but she was working maybe one day a week with production. Having to find staff to do that work was almost impossible for her because who wants that job? She, as a business owner, she's not the best at managing those staff. And so there needed to be a solution to get her over the hump to the next level. Traditionally, she would go to something called a co-packer, somebody to outsource her production, but she wasn't at the right scale. So she couldn't do that.
Not enough salsa for the co-packer to want to work with her.
Exactly right. So not enough of scale, but also that co-packers like to do, they make their money by doing one thing really well. And so when you change that, when you take fresh salsa and you say, we're going to use fresh tomatoes instead of frozen tomatoes, they say, sorry, we can't do that in our line. So now this business was stuck. She just plateaued. And we said, well, does that mean our model has to stop? Because how does she ever get over that hump? And I came up with this sort of crazy, brilliant, and still very difficult idea of, well, what if we took over production for her? And could we aggregate labor? So could we take on doing manufacturing for her business on Monday and then do hummus on Tuesdays and cookies on Wednesdays and jam on Thursdays, whatever it was, and help our companies get to that next level? Let them do what they need to do, which is go sell, go work on their finances, go market, and let us handle all of the other pieces in the manufacturing. What we found was, number one, it's really hard. So there's a reason that the industry doesn't do it, and that this kind of missing link between from artisan to large scale company, there's a miss in the market and we are filling it. What we also found, though, was that, in fact, it made it easier for us to get into larger accounts for our companies. So imagine if you're talking to a buyer from Whole Foods or Stop and Shop or Harvard University Dining Services. The questions that they have are about food safety, compliance, can you scale correctly? What if there's a recall? What do we do? And they could look at Commonwealth Kitchen and say, here's how we know we feel confident. So all of a sudden, what seemed like a simple thing of aggregating work turned into this place where actually it allowed us to help our company step on the gas and access markets they never would have gotten otherwise.
So the salsa company, how much salsa now?
Well, unfortunately, that business closed, but it was due to a personal issue, a health issue, so she had to close.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. But we have many other businesses. You know, we have a company, Hillside Harvest, which makes jerk sauce. They're the official hot sauce of the Red Sox. This is a company that started in our shared kitchen. He started to build his business. As he grew, he needed somebody to outsource to. We manufactured it for him. And at the same time that we do that production, we also then connected him into a bunch of buyers, a bunch of distributors. He was part of a fellowship that allowed him to actually get to the next level. So he's probably in 400 or 500 stores at this point.
What allows you as a leader to get to the next level?
I think the question is, what is that next level, right? So I feel like the work so much, it's so much relational and emotional and seeing where what we are doing is having real impact. So when being proximate with these business owners gives me such joy, but such understanding of why what we are doing matters. Because sometimes I look at it and think, really, does the world need another cookie company, right? Why am I doing this? This is of all the things I could do. And yet when I see the impact on the business owner, but also in the networks that they build, the relationships that they're building, the power of Commonwealth Kitchen is that we are building this peer group of people who in any other situation would never know each other. And here they are, two women with a business that they make sweet potato cookies from Wellesley in the same kitchen as a business that is the Jamaican business where he's got a third grade education from Jamaica and he came here. What other place in the world would these two businesses have a tight relationship where they actually help each other every day? And so the power of what we're doing, when I think about what's going on in the world right now, and how much people aren't able to talk to each other and communicate. And I think about what it means to be in a place where we actually are connected to each other, we're proximate with each other, we learn each other, we know each other, and therefore we have each other's back. Like, isn't this the way that we actually can change the world? And so for me, every day that I think, why am I doing this? I'm an imposter. I should go back to what I know. Every day I also look and say, but for me and Commonwealth Kitchen, these businesses would not get to this point.
What's the dream?
World domination, very simple.
You want to be the Khaleesi?
Yes, exactly. No, honestly, like it is about fundamental systems change. I'm at a point in my career where I'm tired of incremental. And so I'm interested in what is the things we can do that actually cause structural change. And so an example for me of this is in September of this year, Commonwealth Kitchen took over the food court at MIT. So the Student Center Food Court, we had the opportunity to step in. We put three businesses of color, all immigrant owned, into their own retail kiosks, All three of those businesses walked in, they started cooking, and they started selling to students. Every one of those businesses is already profitable. Like that, and it for that to have happened.
You mean from September to now, now they're all profitable businesses.
Correct. They're all paying themselves and profitable. That does not happen in the food industry. For that to have happened, MIT needed to change what they were doing. They had to understand that a values-aligned relationship was what was going to be required for them to have the impact that they wanted to have, and that we were able to bring them through that to show them that there was a different way. That, to me, is systems change, because MIT actually changed what they were doing. And credit to them to actually understand why that they needed to do that. Because of that project, we now have multiple other locations where we're going to be replicating.
Oh. Jen Fagel, Executive Director of Commonwealth Kitchen. What a great conversation. Thank you so much for joining us.
Tiziana, thank you. And congratulations on all the great success for the radio show.
Thank you so much. Listen, next week, our final installment of Stepping Up, we're going to be talking with former acting Boston Mayor Kim Janey.